when my husband died, I had to let go of my identity as a wife, my identity as a couple, someone to share things with. But what did I carry forward? I'm still the same person. I still had my family. I still had my friends. I still had my home. I still had God. When we begin to look at those questions, we realize we can do this.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I am so excited that you are joining me today. I normally have my husband, Chris Conley. Today, as I run solo, I have Barbara Glanz for the second time. And Barbara, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
If our listeners didn't have a chance to listen to your conversation with me when we talked about raising morale and reducing turnover, improving the environment of your workplace, I hope that they will go back and listen, because you provided so many really practical tools and new thoughts, I think, for a lot of the leaders that are listening. Let me just tell you a little bit about Barbara. She was the first speaker on record to have spoken on all 7 continents and all 50 states, which is maybe, Barbara, not the first thing that most people say when they introduce you, but that is such an interesting and incredible piece of your resume.
Thank you. What a blessing it's been. And God's done it.
You are a nationally and internationally known speaker, a member of the prestigious Speaker Hall of Fame. You have had 12 books published. You mentioned that you have others that are in the works right now. So you are staying incredibly busy. Today, we're going to talk about a subject that I would say is near and dear to my heart, but that is absolutely not true. It is actually something I really don't like: change. What began your journey to really think about this topic of change?
In the last podcast, I talked about my background, my personal background. One of the things that I shared earlier was by age 56, I had lost my father, my son, and my husband. Not how you plan your life to be. Earlier, we'd had our child had died. He was buried on Christmas Eve. Lots of change in my life. So I've been through that kind of change. I've lost a job. That was another change. Observed health issues with people that I care about. Every day, I think we face some kind of change. Look at what's happened even with technology. Remember the first fax machine?
Yes.
And how exciting it was if we could get something. I mean, that was just a few years ago.
And now if somebody asks me to fax them something, I'm like, do you live in the dark ages?
Right.
It is so hard to find a fax machine. I think I have an app that's a fax app to make up for the loss of those.
The only place that change doesn't occur is the cemetery. And actually, if you're buried, that's probably change happening there too. But the thing that I always say when I start talking about change, and I ask every person in the audience to write this down, change always comes bearing gifts. Change always comes bearing gifts.
That is such a radically different perspective than most of us have.
Absolutely. And it takes time. In the midst of a crisis, it's pretty hard to see those gifts. But one of the things I learned during all that time, and I'll talk a few minutes later about coping mechanisms, but someone gave me a book, and I don't even know if it's in print anymore, a Christian book, by the way, called I Ain't Much Baby, But I'm All I've Got by Jess Lair. In the book, he talked about living 5 minutes at a time. That was one of the things that got me through those difficult times of change, because there were days I didn't even think I could get through until noon. But I could always do 5 minutes and 5 minutes and 5 minutes. So it taught me to be fully in the present. When people are talking today about mindfulness and being fully in the present, I learned that through crises. One of the gifts that comes as we face change, when we think about how did we do that? How did we get through? Another thing I did was I kept a blessings journal. I still do. It's just a spiral notebook. But every night before I go to bed, I write down 2 or 3 blessings that have happened during the day. And what that has done has kept me focused on, even in the darkest hours, there were always a couple of good things I could find.
Barbara, if my husband were sitting here, he and I are different in this respect. Change does not unnerve him. He actually thrives on change. Some personalities that actually do thrive on that, more people are resistant than not. What is that reason? Why are people so resistant to change?
I think it's because it takes us out of our comfort zone. Our comfort zone is comfortable. We like knowing. We like having plans and having those come about the way we expect them to. But that isn't the world. As things have speeded up, you know, I think even the ages probably you and I are, we look back on how much simpler our childhood was than it is for young people today. How much simpler it was to make a job choice because you didn't have all the options that there are today. Everything has speeded up in our lives. The title of the presentation that I do on change is Exhausted, Confused, and Ticked Off, Hope for a New Beginning When Change Has Done You In. And everybody goes, oh, I need that. And we are all facing that. Your husband is really very much in the minority.
Yes, I would agree.
Because most people, one of the things that you need to think about with change is it's a continuum. There is forced change and chosen change. Forced change, of course, is much more difficult. Chosen change is buying a new house, getting a new job, getting married, sending your child off to college. Those are all things that are chosen changes, going on vacation, buying a new computer. But forced change is really tough. And then the second continuum is predictable or unpredictable. The continuum of change, change that is predictable and chosen, it's still hard, but it is predictable, it's chosen. Many people do well with that kind of change. But when it's chosen and unpredictable, and mostly when it gets to forced and unpredictable, that's the tough one.
That's really kind of taking a step back from your specific circumstances and looking at change in a little bit more of an analytical way. But even as you say that, I think, you know, that actually proves that change is not always something that we fear, that there are plenty of things when you're proposed to, that's change, you're getting ready to get married, that's a large change, but we don't run from that, or introducing a new child into your family. There's so many things that if we are really one of those that say, gosh, I hate change, to go, no, that's actually not true.
Well, it's still tough, though, that process of starting a new marriage. It's wonderful at first.
Right.
The reality is. And so all of those changes, although they're chosen and predictable and we're excited about them, it's still tough on the day-to-day getting through those. So one of my, I think, strengths, gifts from the Lord is being able to take very difficult concepts and create very simple visual models. I'm very visual. 89% of people in our world today are visual. So if we can actually see what is happening, there's a wonderful Chinese proverb that says, the beginning of wisdom is understanding. So as we can begin to see what's happening, we can much more easily deal with it. It's still not going to take the pain away, and I'm very clear about that with my audiences. So the model starts with a circle that says what was. Then there's a big lightning bolt of change coming down. And again, as we talked about, it can be predictable, unpredictable, chosen, or forced. So that comes along. And then in the middle, we have this awful, pointy, icky place I call the struggle. It can be called transition, dark night of the soul, passage. There are lots of different terms for it. But it's like cobwebs. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you are. You know, it's scary for most people and very uncomfortable. Then over on the other side is a heart that says new beginning. But what's cool is out of the struggle is a hand holding on to what was. And that, to me, is the key of moving through change, actually asking yourself, what do I have to let go of in order to move over to the other side? That becomes the critical question. It doesn't take the pain away of having to work through that. But once you understand, it is the beginning of getting through that whole process.
it makes me think about that saying that every time you gain something, you lose something. It is trying to figure out, okay, what do I have to let go of? I know that you talk about how there are stages to change. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Well, the stages pretty much are what I talked about in terms of the model. I love the idea of learnings, wonderful stages of learning. So there's unconscious incompetence is the first stage. We don't know it, and we don't even know we don't know it. And then we get to conscious incompetence. We know we don't know it. Third stage is conscious competence. We know it, and we know we know it. And then we get to unconscious competence, where we don't even think about it anymore. And that's where we can get into trouble. So I use the metaphor of driving a car. When you're a baby, you don't even know you can't drive a car. When you get to be two or three, you get your little steering wheel, and you go vroom, 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 and you pretend that you're driving a car. Then you get to age 14 or 15, and you get your driver's permit. You remember that? You think about every little thing that you do. So you're totally conscious. And then where are most of us today when we drive?
Conscious, competent.
Unconscious.
Oh, yes, you're right.
I mean, have you ever gotten somewhere and you don't even remember how you got home?
That's so true. I'm sitting here. I'm stuck on the conscious, incompetent one as I'm sitting here at my notes because I have a 16-year-old daughter, and she just recently said to me, "Mom, sometimes I scare myself while I'm driving." And that is not what a mom wants to hear, but that is such a perfect illustration of how that happens. So apply those different levels to working through a change.
Well, first of all, I want to go back just a minute for something fun with unconscious competence. When a policeman is behind you, where are you?
Policeman's behind me. I am panicked, so I guess I'm unconsciously doing what I already know how to do.
Well, I think for most of us, it takes us back to conscious competence, when we don't even think about what we're doing. And then when there's a policeman, then we begin to think, did I have my clicker on? Did I do this? Did I do that? As we're talking about stages of change, what I'm trying to do is I work with people in organizations and in their lives to get them to that conscious competence level so they understand, here is where I am in this process. Many times they're in the struggle part of it. However, if they hang in there and know that, they can actually get to the level of unconscious competence so that they don't have to think so much about it the next time around. One of the pieces that I've done that I think is the most significant, we call the control inventory. And I use this every time there's a change in my life. There are three questions on this. Question number one is, what do I have control over and what don't I have control over? What do you have control over? What don't you have control over? And what most people find is when they start listing those things, they have control over a whole lot of stuff. It's very little that they don't have control over. Second question is, what has changed and what hasn't changed? And again, when you begin to specifically put things down, people begin to realize, oh my gosh, not that many things have changed. So there comes a security with that. And then the last question is, what do I have to let go of? And then what do I carry forward? So I might have to let go of, when my husband died, I had to let go of my identity as a wife, my identity as a couple, someone to share things with. But what did I carry forward? I'm still the same person. I still had my family. I still had my friends. I still had my home. I still had God. When we begin to look at those questions, we realize we can do this. Not as much has changed as we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with.
That is so powerful. I hope that everyone got those three questions. What do I have control over? And what do I not have control over? And then what has changed and what hasn't changed? And what do I have to let go of? And then the opposite of what do I carry forward? Did I get those correct?
You got them exactly right.
That is such an important process to go through. I love even the personal example that you just gave with the loss of your husband, that this is something that's going to apply to every type, whether it's professional or personal. Those three sets of questions are huge.
And what leaders and managers can do, and these, by the way, are all human level. When I talk about this, I'm not talking about systems and processes to get through change. I'm talking about feelings and getting through the change in terms of understanding emotionally what's happening. And so it's so important for leaders and managers to understand this is what their employees are going through, and helping them with these three questions so that they can begin to talk about that with them, especially those that are having a really tough time with change. I love the metaphor of a train. So there are some people, and your husband would be right in the engine
right
with that train. The train of change would be right there with the engine, with the engineer. And then there's some people that will wait a little bit and then they'll get on. And there's some people that are going to wait until the caboose is there, and they're going to run at the last minute and grab onto the caboose. But the ones that are most concerning are those that stand in front of the train. That's the person that a leader or manager has to deal with and help to get them back on the train.
That is such a great image. It's so interesting, the timing of this. Earlier today, I was sitting in a staff meeting of our organization. My husband was introducing a potential pretty significant change for our organization and some great opportunities, but it is still change. I know you go into corporations all the time. So let's say that in a corporate setting, there's some restructure or some new product line or something that is going to change a significant number of people's daily routine. What does that look like for managers? Obviously, you're dealing a lot of times with process change and the business side of things.
Right.
What does it look like for that manager to navigate this personal side, this human side?
Going back to the questions, one of the major things is, first of all, communication and honesty and trust with the team so that they are included on all the information that possible, so that they really understand what is going on and are not fearful, you know, all the grapevine stuff and rumors and so forth. So that's one of the first things, and that is part of the process, but also part of the human aspect of looking at that change. But then the question becomes helping them understand and clarify. There's a wonderful book by a Catholic priest called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And he says that it's not until when we have thoughts going around in our head, it's not until we either write them down or we verbalize them to someone that they become real and concrete and we can deal with them. Asking the question and helping them understand, what do I have to let go of in order to move forward? So I suggest, for example, when a process or something that people really like is going to change, have a funeral. I'm not being sacrilegious or anything here. It's a concrete, symbolic way of letting go. So one of my clients built a little coffin and they put the name of the process on it and everybody pounded a nail in. And it's those little symbolic things that allow people to move on. And they laughed about it and they had fun with it. Same thing, you can write something down that you want to let go of and take it outside and burn it in the parking lot. Things that let it go in a balloon. Anything that can be done in a concrete, symbolic way will help people with the letting go. But it's also like the monkey bars. You hold on with two hands, you let go with one, you're not going to go forward until you let go with the other one.
Well, and that goes so much in alignment even with what we talked about in our first podcast. When you are allowing the employees and people on your team to articulate their concerns and what they have to let go of, they're understanding that they're being heard and that they're valuable and that they are a human being. They're not just someone going through a process.
Right. And it's grieving. I mean, we have to understand the stages of grieving that people go through, denial and through all the way through to acceptance. But whenever there's a major change in our lives, we have to grieve. My little granddaughter is suffering with leukemia, as I mentioned that to you earlier. She has not talked to me on the phone since this happened 3 weeks ago because she's grieving. I understand that. And I think most people have been through some sort of grieving. But it's awareness that employees have to go through that. And leaders and managers have to guide and support and understand that and help them through that process. So then we come to dealing with coping mechanisms. What can we do? I always ask people in a session, when you've had a major change in your life, what did you do? What helped you to get through it? And then having people list, finding someone who's been through the same thing. I talked about earlier living 5 minutes at a time, keeping a blessings journal, read things that bring you joy, pray, meditation, music, whatever helps you cope to get through, exercising, you know, watching your diet, all of these. So we, each individual will find different things. But again, when you begin to list those, it becomes a strategy for you.
Right. Absolutely. I love this, Barbara. This is so incredibly useful for everybody listening. And I can't help but think that as I talked a little bit earlier about my husband, Chris, and him being a visionary, there are a lot of leaders that are listening to this podcast. Maybe in their personal life change, they handle differently. But in a work environment, if they're the visionary, maybe a word of caution to them is just this awareness that the people that you are leading are processing change slower than you are. Most of the time, the head of the organization is days, weeks, and months further down the road of grieving what is going to be lost, looking at what they're going to gain, but forgetting those people behind them that they're leading need that time to process as well. Do you find that in organizations you've worked with?
Absolutely. And I think one of the critical things is leaders and managers being human with their employees and saying, you know, I've had to struggle with this too. And here's what's helped me work through this. Again, one of my personal beliefs is that we admire people for their strengths, but we love people for their vulnerability because that means they're just like us.
Absolutely. And people who don't seem to have any needs or any vulnerabilities are hard to love.
Exactly.
That honesty is important just as much in the workplace as anywhere else. This has been so incredibly helpful, Barbara. Is there anything before we finish our time together on this topic of change that you think if I could just share, this would be a nugget that would be so helpful for our listening audience?
I think going back to the whole idea of all change comes bearing gifts. And I love the thought we choose change or it chooses us. Change can be the most exciting thing that happens, and it's the only way that you'll grow as a person. So embracing change and understanding it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But that is one of the gifts as we work it through, and we know that God is with us doing this. So we're not alone, but we're trusting.
Barbara, thank you so much for your time and just lending your wisdom to our audience. And I know that it will be beneficial to all of our listeners. It's been beneficial to me. If somebody wants to get more information about having you come and speak at their organization or event or any of your resources, where should they go to find that?
Well, my website is just Barbara Glanz, GLANZ.com. And my email is bglanz@barbaraglanz.com.
Great.
So I'd love to hear from people.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you want more information on leadership development, I'd also encourage you to go to leadlikejesus.com. And until next time, you have a great day.